for diagnosis as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. I have lots of things, so I'll get right onto it. And starting with the normal sad stuff, two more return cards. You can see from the wall down here, on my second to the last row, simply because I get the last row, I'll have to figure out another place to put them all. This one was sent to the Kozlowski family. My home is your home. I'll never cast you out. A link to the voicemail of September 14th of 2021. This is the discussion on suicide. This is to Mrs. Dorothy Jane Kozlowski. Today marks two-thirds of a century for me. So I started my day with 1,024 continuous jumping jacks. I'm still keeping the promise to strive to be 90. I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man. Because normally I start my day with 512 jumping jacks, like most men, right? But that day, I did 1,024 continuous. And the thing is, I started and I said, can I do this anymore? Yeah. Not a problem. I have been, I've been reaching out. I've been spending my time marketing. I hate marketing. It's just not me. It's not the thing for me. But that's what I have been doing lately because that's what I need to do. And tried to contact people who would be interested, especially in the whistleblower area. And, for example, and I've gone to areas that I feel one I know something about and one where there's a little bit of a heart tug. For example, one organization I contacted today is Drone Wars out of the UK. Drone Wars, like that gentleman there who is in prison because of drone wars. So I contacted them. My hope there is apparently the gentleman who runs it is Roman Catholic, so he might not be as offended as others at my the email signature. A number of people I don't think appreciate. You know, it's the Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To put that in email may offend somebody. I don't know why, but anyway, I sent it to them, but then I've gone to the other area that I think is very applicable because obviously, for those who are paying attention, I've discussed it more than once related to COVID, and I sent to several on that. And let's say goodbye to the recording. Some of the things I wrote in my intro letter was the idea of, to introduce myself, I've also been a serious observer of COVID events. In early 2020, I publicly described the mask as the armband of 100 years ago. And that the purpose behind COVID is money, power, and eugenics. And those are exactly my words, and I have the evidence for it, don't I? Over and over and over again, I use those two lines. And I've used it, face-to-face with lots of people. The mask is the armband of 100 years ago. And remember, I have one. Unworn, but I do have one. and that money, power, eugenics. And the only issue I've said after a while, I said, is it eugenics or is it just plain genocide? But I wrote, continue, what happened in the following months and years was censorship of evidence, a worship of scientists while ignoring science, and a lot of money and power made by those who toed the line. What I saw happen in the medical community is the same that happened to me in the software community, in that those who wanted to do well for their clients were crushed by those who bowed to their overlords to line their pockets and keep their jobs. A statement like that's not going to go over well in a job interview. sorry. that idea just doesn't work. I thought, when I was writing this, I thought, should I add something in order to to make it a little more real. And I don't know if right or wrong, but I did write, I live a half hour from where the nurse Tiffany Dover took the vaccine on camera and subsequently collapsed. She spoke a bit shortly thereafter, but hasn't been seen since. While if she is alive or dead remains in question, what I've seen from some indirectly involved is an unwillingness to speak. It is my desire to give them the freedom to provide evidence without putting themselves at risk. You know, see, and that's because, you know, I mentioned shortly after that, or maybe some months later, whatever it was, because there was a gentleman who hit the news. There was a gentleman who came from, he does blogs on video and gets, you know, funded by donations and whatnot. And he came to Chattanooga and he went to the hospital and tried to ask around. He went into the hospital and asked them with his camera off, asked them to do, you know, the interview and whatnot, and they declined to protect her privacy. From that, there's a site, whereistiffanydover.com or something like that, nature.org, whatever it is. And I haven't checked it in a long while. But, you know, apparently there's a whole lot of evidence she's dead. And you know, the obvious way to prove that false, if she would publicly show up, you know, she was willing to be public on camera for the shot, but not willing to be public to say, yes, the shot didn't kill me. And what I find interesting is that early on, when I first heard about this guy, Gonzalo Lira, he's in Ukraine right now. He is Chilean and American, and lives in Ukraine for some time, and is on the Ukrainian kill list. So he is semi-sequestered in but still in Ukraine, and does videos and so forth. But when I first found out about him, he was doing the live thing. So he would say, "All right, if you can hear this or whatnot or whatever, send me a message. Where is Tiffany Dover?" You know, I found that fascinating, because someone basically, you know, roughly halfway around the world is obviously aware of that situation, which, you know, anyway, but so I did bring that up. But the point is, anyway, ignoring all the other trivia, the point is, Lord willing, see, my issue, and for people that I know me, I've talked to them, I said, okay, the gentleman's name is Charles. It's a placeholder name. Obviously, it doesn't have to be Charles. But I've talked about, where's Charles? You know, it's kind of like, where is Tiffany Dover? I didn't think about that. But where's Charles? Who is Charles? Because, you know, it's kind of like the idea of, well, you know, some time ago I spoke about the working with people skilled with musicians that I did when I did the made the videos for the dance program at MetaView about 2 decades ago. So when I did that, I worked with musicians, and their skill set was radically different than mine. But together, we produced something that I thought was quite, I mean, I think, especially for 20 years ago, that was a delightful thing. It was not because the video was delightful, or the music was delightful, or the dance was delightful, but the synthesis of all three makes it something that you know, because again, I still look back at that when I've every once in a while, I look at it, and, you know, the music is good. I think there's some inventiveness in the camera work. And some of those dances, especially the adult ones, they're quite good. But then, of course, there's that bias because my kids are in there. And anyway, but the whole point is that there are different talents working together. And, you know, most people are not interested in the object model of Shofar Nexus. They're not interested in the arguments between a database versus a tree. They're not interested in the various aspects of communications protocols. So, but I need somebody who can communicate what that does to somebody who, and it doesn't mean hillbilly means to them, but of course, everything they do in the sense of when they're on the computer is based on those kind of issues. But two more things. One is, I'll leave the links of two videos that I watched. They were long. But in one of them, I think it's the second one, I made the statement that this may have a real big impact on me, if not somebody else. And when I listened to myself say that, and it was from a year ago, so it was kind of like, yes, it did. because it's, one is October 4th, 2021, so just over a year ago. Lynn, Teresa, but I prefer my wife, because this was talking about Lynn, who, you know, she's the one, she died, and Teresa, which is the woman who used to live in the house, just, that has been, you know, now I think of that, because that's a year ago. It's been reworked, it's been worked on for resale. And now it's obviously been for over a year. So they're not putting a lot of effort into it, or they're not doing it quickly, because it's still being worked on. But anyway, after I went to, and I talked with Gary that one day, and I was walking back, because Lynn had died, then I saw Teresa. She was in a bathtub in the front. She was literally laying in a bathtub, because they pulled the bathtub out, and it's still sitting there actually in front of the front yard. And she was laying there, and she got up and started to talk to me. And I described that event because that event had an impact on me. It really did. But because the irony, one of the reasons why I watched that again is because it was last Sunday, was it? Where I saw her again as I was walking. And it's kind of like, anyway. But then the other one, war crimes for fun and profit. And Jesus wept. Both of those have some real serious stuff in them. And I would suggest some serious theology, as well as, you know, applying to the world today. And so they're a year old, and those are longer ones. I mean, because they're both almost an hour each. In a sense, I'm kind of pleased that it is. I hope I'm building a library of things that will have value. I mean, obviously, a year later, they've had value to me, but Lord willing, to someone else, notably my own family. But in the process of doing some tidying, because I was trying to take care of some other things, and I ran across something from May 23rd of 2001, written by my wife. And I'm going to read it. Greetings. She and I are very similar. Would you believe that John and I just celebrated our 11th anniversary? I can't. The time has gone so fast and so much has happened. I'd just like to share with you a word of testimony about one facet of our journey over the past 11 years. See, there's something, quote, unusual, unquote, about our family. And you know, more and more people are beginning to notice it. Over the past 11 years, our Lord has been gracious to bless us with 5 of his eternal blessings, children. I can stand here today and say with joy in my heart that there's not one of them I would be willing to trade or give up. But we didn't get here because I thought it would be as wonderful as it is. So, if you'd allow me, let me take you back 11 years. You know, it's ironic because, it was about this time 11 years ago that the Lord first blessed us with a child. Her name is Erica Lee. But at that time, 11 years ago, we didn't know it that yet. You see, we had only been married for about 6 weeks. In fact, we were still unaware of her presence with us. But that was soon to change. By the time we had been married almost 2 months, on July 18th, 1990, I came home from work and said, "I still haven't started my period. I think I might be pregnant." To which John responded, "You're always late." my response was not 10 days. Over the course of the next few minutes to an hour, we decided to make a trip to the Greensboro Pregnancy Care Center, for John was on the board there, and it was not unusual for those who volunteer in the ministry to go there for their own pregnancy test. Still in total denial, As we were driving over to the center, John announced to me that he thought he was sure the test would be negative. The good thing about getting the test was that at least you won't be so stressed about it anymore. You can go ahead and start your period tomorrow. Well, he had 9 months of tomorrows to wait. And in the process, prepared to welcome one of the greatest joys of our life together. You know, I don't know how much that was embellished. Maybe not at all. Anyway, because I remember being there as, you know, as the test was, you know, we're waiting on the test to form, and it's showing up positive, and I was looking in such disbelief. It's kind of like, I'm a dad. I don't understand. It was easy to get married than to find out you were a dad. It's kind of like life changes. And I've heard that many times from lots of people, that life changes more when you have kids than when you get married. But anyway. So you see, we began attracting attention almost immediately. Not many couples announce a pregnancy within 2 months of having gotten married. Over the course of the next couple of years, as we announced our pregnancy with Joey at Eric Lee's first birthday, we began attracting a lot more attention and others around us. By accident, and some very much on purpose, began to let us know exactly what they were thinking. You didn't know how that happens? But after this one, you're going to not have any more, are you? Oh, we figured out how that happens and fixed it. Or, well, after this one, you ought to wait a while before you have any more. Then it was clear that Joey was a boy, another was saying was added to their repertories. Oh, that's great. One girl and one boy. Now you don't have to have any more. And indeed, we did get those comments. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been many words of encouragement along the way, too. But my point at this moment is to establish the fact that we stood out as a family more and more over the years. And now, as we arrived at this year's reunion with all five of our wonderful blessings, I believe that we rival only a few and trail still fewer. Save Grandmama and Grandpa, in how many children the Lord has had been pleased to send our way. This was for a cross clan gathering, and Grandmama and Grandpa, they had a number, I don't remember. But of course, we didn't stop at five, we had nine. Okay, bear with me, I'm totally changing gears here, but I'm a woman. She's a woman, no, I'm not. Which means you need to thank me for warning you before I took this huge right-hand turn. Another incredible blessing in our lives is the modern technology the Lord has allowed us as a people to discover and develop. In fact, Julia would not be with us today except for the wisdom of doctors who work together to diagnose and then through surgery to treat and eradicate a staph infection that had lodged in a lymph node in her groin. Back in March, we went through the trauma of emergency surgery and tending her wound as she was allowed to heal from the inside out. But after only 3 very long weeks, she was discharged from the surgeon with the news that the infection was completely healed and is not the kind of thing that would return. 3 very long, stressful weeks, and it's over. The infection is gone, and her incision was healed. What a blessing. And the irony is, if I recall that story correctly, she may have got that infection from a trip to a doctor's office. So, you know, it is the idea that, you know, one of the third leading causes of death, or it used to be the third leading cause of death, was properly prescribed medical care. And in a sense, this would apply to that. Obviously, Julia is very much alive. But anyway, I would think this shows you that example. And of course, the second irony would be that some years later, I'd be working for MedMind, they now have a new name because they were bought out, but I forget. But what they were doing is software to prevent or to slow down hospital-acquired infections, which is what Julie ended up with. And of course, that operation was a racket too, but then we'll go into that. I could go on and on. And we could recount the story after story where medical science has partnered with God's plan for healing our family members And our family members are alive today because of antibiotics and surgery and the like. Doctors and surgeons and our understanding of our bodies and of the science brought together the incredible blessing that we can regularly go to the doctor's office sick and come out with a prescription for healing. I would have some issue with that paragraph, but and I think the next one too, but I won't dwell there. The only prescriptions and procedures that I know of that do not take an ailing system of the body and begin to heal it are contraception, birth control, and abortion. Maybe there are others, and maybe I don't want to know what they are. But these are the only ones I know of. I have at least three friends who have had an overactive thyroid treated. Untold number of us, even here today, are taking something regularly to control high blood pressure or treat some other malfunctioning system of the body. But John and I have become increasingly convinced that the one place medical science does not fit into our lives is the impeding or destroying of a system of our bodies that is working normally by the design that God has given us. Well, you know, that's my wife who said that. Even before John and I met, the Lord had been at work in each of us. And we are in complete agreement on the question of abortion. There was no question. Abortion is murder, and the Bible is very clear about where we stand on the question of whether murder is right or wrong. You shall not murder. That was not an issue. And by the way, shortly after our marriage, again, she coined the term abortion of the heart in the idea of contraception. What is an issue and continue to be the process for me over the years is a question of contraception. Again, John and I were both absolutely convinced about the question of contraception even before we met. The problem was we were in disagreement on this one, not agreement. Over the first number of days and weeks after this disagreement came to light, there was much stress and many tears. The question whether or not contraception was immoral is a very passionate subject. And as we discussed it, John and I were no exception. We fought with fervor, and I dare say that even then, God was the one who was holding our commitment together. Because although I was sure John was crazy, I never crossed my mind to break up with him. And I'm still glad for that. I'm still glad for that. You know, after I read that paragraph, it hurts. Because she did break up with me after well over 20 years. But she said we fought with fervor. That was an exaggeration. I've never had a shouting match with her. So as you can imagine, there was no one argument that hit me between the eyes and caused me to say, "Oh, wow, John, you're right. I see it now. I'm ready just to trust in God and give exactly the number of babies that he wants us to have exactly the right time. We don't have to plan our family. He has done that. He's already done that. John is there. But for me, it was not like that at all. In all honesty, I still have to fight and pull myself back into submission to John and my Heavenly Father on this one. But this I can say. I am convinced that the Lord has asked me to give up control in this area and totally trust him. And his timing has been perfect. I wouldn't give one of them back. And I wouldn't change a thing." And she didn't hold with it. But for me, this is an ongoing process. When we had four children, it seemed apparent that my fertility was returning. John was excited, and I was stressed. But the Lord did see fit to send us another little one. And though I was content, maybe even pleased, when we found out about the presence within me, I still wasn't excited. Having four children was almost already something of sometimes overwhelming situation, and we were going to have one more. But I can honestly say that I have been able to enjoy George more than any of my others. I'm more comfortable with being a mother than I was when I was enjoying my sweet Erica Lee. George is a more laid-back, easygoing guy than my wonderful Joe Bear, or Joey, and now we call him Jack. And with now having a 10-year-old and an 8.5-year-old, I have lots more help than I did when Tirza was a baby, even when Julia was born. Still, in all these situations, and even those yet to come, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yes, having 5 children is stressful sometimes, and I'm sure that if the Lord continues to bless us in this way, it will continue to be stressful. But whose life isn't? I'm no busier than my sister-in-law, Carol, whose first baby was born in March, or Rachel, who has a 1-year-old and 1 on the way. I'm just busy doing different things. I'm training older ones to be helpers and checking up on them to make sure everything has been done. Erica Lee, have you fed the chickens? Have the eggs been brought in? Joey, I need you to start a light load of wash. Tirza, would you please put the clothes from the washer to the dryer? Okay, time to wash the dishes. Julia, it's time to you to put your Play-Doh away. In fact, I have even said, Joey, would you please get George out of his swing and change his diaper and get him dressed for church? The size of our family forces us to work together as a family team. And working together both lightens the load, which can get very heavy, and increases the joy. Then even when the going gets tough, the Lord works through the stressful and needful, painful situations to show himself to us and also to show us ourselves. I am thankful that he has used such a blessing in my life to bring the stress which brings me closer to him. It's a win-win situation. He draws me closer to himself while I invest in the lives of those who are dearest to me, my growing family. And unlike stuff, with regard to our covenant children, we can take them with us into eternity. Those are the words of my wife, the woman I love and adore. I recall only vaguely, but I do recall reading this around the time she wrote it. Obviously, a lot has changed. We don't have 5, we have 9. But her statement, her statement about that she knew it was right to be with me. And the idea of submitting to her husband and to the Lord. She doesn't do that. That's clear. I love that lady. I love that lady intensely. You know, the problem is she married a very scary fellow because he has 2 problems. 1, I'm a follower of Christ by Christ's gift to me. But people who are followers of Christ and actually attempt to follow Christ, they're a pain in the tush. Because they blunder, they make mistakes. And in striving to do right, when any hint of that occurs, it's not the way of the world. And it's a pain to be around when you're in the world. And when you have somebody who is trying to keep 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in obedience to Christ, after a while, those feet go further and further apart. Because as the 1 foot's getting closer to Christ and the other 1 foot's staying in the world, you're breaking apart. So you either have to break apart or let go of 1. And I let go of the world. You know, back then, this is post the demise of Heritage Systems. So we did have our first big financial collapse, but we were doing quite well. But then, for a long time, it was on again, off again. There was what you might call some transition time when we went first to Lexington, and I went from serious income to pretty pathetic, and then went to another fairly pathetic, but then started doing the software contracting, and you know got the near or above six figures depending upon where it was. So we were doing comfortable, living in nice places typically and so forth. There were ups and downs, and the problem were the downs, because how did I get in trouble? As I mentioned here, you know, in the one email, for example, what I saw happen in the medical community is the same that happened to me in the software community. That those who wanted to do well for their clients were crushed by those who wanted to bow to their overlords to line their pockets and keep their jobs. One of the things that you don't do as a software developer is try to do a good job if you're part of that corporate environment, the big collective. Because if you do, you're not part of the team anymore. You're making the team look ineffective. And you don't want to do that because you're a team. Because you want to steal. Because your job's at risk. So instead of putting your jobs at risk for doing something mediocre and just playing with the team, you get rid of the guy who's trying to do a good job because he makes you look bad and it can impact the team and impact your job. And what's the difference in the medical community? Nothing. What's the difference in the defense contractor community? Nothing. It took a lot to learn about this because obviously I made a lot of blunders in the process. And one of my big blunders, and just to make sure it's on record, one of my big blunders, let me rephrase that. One of my huge blunders is when the resources were there, I used it for myself and my family to live better than we should have. I didn't invest it in things that would make us live longer without a big income. That was a huge mistake on my part. One of several. We won't list them all. We don't have the time. I don't think I have enough distort. But anyway, this was the lady I loved very much at that time, and still to this day. I remember, again, I think it was Jim Cross said something like, when you get to four, he'll relent. And of course, we were at five, and I didn't. We've never used contraceptions or, you know, and obviously never abortion, you know. I've mentioned when we got at our wedding, at the greeting people afterwards, one gentleman came and in his hand palmed me some condoms. And we got to our apartment. We opened one up because I've never really had one and left it there on the counter because I've never used one. Because, and, you know, I've mentioned, I think it's in the Marriage Defined and Commitment Beyond video. I show my copy of Humanae Vitae, which is the Roman Catholic document about contraception. No, I think it's much clearer. I think it's abundantly clear. Genesis 1:28: be fruitful and multiply. Not be fruitful and multiply when appropriate or as economically viable. What not? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. I'm sorry, the earth is not full, so we have no license. You know, the overpopulation people are mistaken. Anyway, I saw that letter. I thought I would read it today. I am pushing doing the marketing stuff, and I hate it. I'm a software developer. I want to do software. I'm the engineering guy, not the guy. I don't want to do that stuff. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I'm slow at it. But the problem I have, it is just like my stand that obviously I've had now for well over 30 years, not to use any form of contraception. Because again, even back then, because I found this in the 1980s, even before I met, probably before I met Dorothy Jane, what a wonderful name, that it was, both terms were there, but in the 60s, the term contraception was still more popular. But by the time the 70s rolled around, or in that time area, there was this shift to birth control. And I would suggest the reason why is because the abortion industry was starting to flourish, especially after Roe v. Wade. So if we don't talk about contraception, but instead talk about birth control, because birth control includes contraception. But if we use the term birth control for a condom, then we can say we're using birth control. And so it doesn't mean that we're using a condom, a sponge, foam, pills, or surgical abortion, or chemical abortion. They're all birth control. So it was a change of language. Again, obviously, you'll those who pay attention notice I talk about and see very clearly how the manipulation of language is used to control society. And that was one of the things you saw. So, and of course, I've had a lot of issues on that, even in the pro-life community, especially as I point out, the pro-life community, the big verses is Psalm 139. But if you use Genesis 1:28, you're ushered out. Although I'm grateful that even years ago, people say, okay, your argument for scripture is sound. Contraception is wrong. I've had people come to that conclusion, and I'm grateful for that. But of course, obviously, it's the Lord that moves their heart, not me. I'm called to proclaim, and I have proclaimed. Anyway, so I think that same tension that's there with contraception is the same tension I have with, one last thing, because I was encouraged. I was really encouraged by my friend who sent me an email today. And he is, I claim, a good friend. And he's a Latter-day Saint. We were talking about, because in an email exchange I mentioned long ago where somebody told me, you're on the wrong side of the NSA. And I've grabbed onto that. And he used the term watch list, but he said, if you're on the NSA watch list, then you are outspoken enough, causing enough trouble against the powers that be. The leader of the powers that be is Satan. And so your efforts are fighting for the right cause. There's a joke among some of the talk show hosts that I used to listen to, and those that are on the watch list will be the first ones rounded up and put in the FEMA camps. So yes, you could call it encouragement or praise. I felt very loved by that, because Shofar Nexus is as politically incorrect as standing against contraception. And one of the points that I'm really finding the greatest trouble on, I think, because most people won't address this to me. I have had those that do, but most don't. It is like, I got the one comment that somebody looked into it and this is, it scares them. So I'm out of here. And how many don't see that? And say, one of the things that I find is that when you are willing to interface with people who disagree with you, that's really hard for somebody else to accept. I have a friendship, a joy, and a love for a man who I would contend as a follower of Christ. We will not share eternity together, unless he repents of that and follows the true Christ, because I would contend he's following a false Christ. And him looking at me in a similar vein. But that does not break the friendship. There is a care for each other. I have no problem doing with that with somebody who is a follower of Muhammad, Buddha, or scientists, because they're really not followers of science, and the atheist. I have no problem with having that kind of relationship, working with them, you know? Do you go to a store and check every product? Are they all made by those who follow the same doctrine I do? No. And if what I do can be a blessing to somebody that I disagree with, if they use it for purposes that I disagree with, that's in the Lord's hands, not mine. The Lord calls me, bless those who persecute you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. But in the process, somebody might see, he's done something for me and I don't like him or what he does or what he stands for. But what I'm seeing in him is a follower of Christ. Maybe I need to look into it. Maybe the Lord will open that person's eyes because of that. That was my hope, not that they get coals on their head. Anyway, I read this letter. It reminded me of the woman I love. So, before I get another... My lady, my wife, do you remember that letter? It's now available online. You did express it publicly, so it's now... Bracket is public. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I really do love you. I really do love you. Reading those words, it reminded me of you because it's your style. And I love you. And I want you back.